Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to speak briefly about how we think about improving equipment performance and job execution inside of Deere. I want to first acknowledge my co-authors, Sue Gray, Tom Mueller, and Larry Hendrickson, agronomist in John Deere, and also Eric Cornell and Armand Bolero, researchers at the University of Illinois, instrumental in getting this presentation together, and I really appreciate their help. And I also want to send an acknowledgement out to the great symposia that we had yesterday in the Precision Ag community. We've got several speakers here that I thought did a fabulous job framing up a lot of the questions that I'm going to show here. But also, I want to acknowledge Stan Hartsock. This presentation was meant to tailor his leading into mine. So if you have a chance, please go back, listen to the symposia yesterday, and go back and look at Stan's if you have a chance to be able to see how these connect together. So I want to run really briefly through an example about how we think about driving equipment performance inside of Deere and what we do for these types of evaluations. So for example, let me see if I can get my mouse here. Okay. So we started a project 2 years ago. This is actually in collaboration with the University of Illinois. It's going to be published as a dissertation here. Hopefully, I think the PhD student's hoping here within a few weeks to get out there and be moving on. It was actually looking at seed depth across the field. So if you think about today, typically we think about a field as uniform seed depth. We asked the question about what if you could actuate that on the go and change it for different parts of the field, right? So we had cooperator testing across Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana for 2 years to look at this question. It was 1-inch, 2-inch, and 3-inch depths to do the conversion for you, and then we looked at yield monitor data, and we also, at certain sites, did more in-depth types of analyses. So looked at individual rows yield and look at individual plant, which is where I want to go with this presentation. So what we did, here's an example of the design that we used. The background layer would be topography. So red would be high ridge areas, blue would be low-lying areas in a field. And what we did is we actually ran strips all the way across the field, changing seed depth. So what you do is you get out of the tractor, you'd manually change the seed depth across the row units, drive to the end, maybe do all the strips of like kind at once, and then come back, and then change it again, and then fill in those other gaps. So what you see here is our typical design was having a 1-inch and a 3-inch adjacent to 2-inch, which was typically most growers' preference for what they did. It was always two or something very, very close to two. And what we also did, like I said, in select locations was we actually went out and hand harvested rows of corn. So this would be individual row, about 6 meters or 20 feet strips is what we did. And then sometimes we did adjacent rows as well. So that was, I'll say that was at Moline, Illinois. So that was just one location that looked like that. Others we didn't sample quite as heavily. For kind of getting to the point of moving along with the presentation, I'm going right to the answer. So what we found for the yield monitor data, the way to read this table is that you have, let me get my mouse, if I can get that going, or I can just talk about, oh, there it is. So top part of the table looks at shallow versus 2-inch. So we're always going shallow versus 2-inch, deep versus 2-inch. So I'm showing examples where we broke up that big bucket of fields across these sites into different response patterns. So for example, in looking at shallow versus 2-inch, if you had a response of none, here's an example field right here. These are p-values, so non-significant overall, non-significant at the spatial scale. Computers do wonderful things, and they give you coefficients anyway, even if it's non-significant. So now we gave the coefficients anyway, and these coefficients is overall in megagrams per hectare. And this is how it changed for wet part of the field, medium, and dry parts of the field. So this would be a non-significant field that we found. We had fields that were overall responses. So if you look at overall, this is saying it's about a half megagram per hectare gain for doing something shallow as compared to typical. And then we had fields that non-significant overall, but then you start to have these interactions. So here it would pay to do shallow and wet areas, perhaps for earlier emergence and even stands, right? So then if you go down to the deeper part of the table, read it the exact same way. So then I highlighted in green, here's another interaction with a landscape where you actually benefit from planting deeper in drier field areas. And you can see here, planting deeper in wet field areas was not really a good idea. And same with the overall here. This would be an example where we had fields where it wasn't a good idea to do that sort of thing. So since it's an agronomy presentation, the answer is, what's the overall? My engineering and marketing colleagues like this, it depends, right? So it depends on the field, the weather context. There's a lot of factors that go into this, but we do see hints of those types of responses. So that would be at the yield monitor level. If we drill down, we took hand samples. So this is, every little point would be one of those rows, so it's an average of a row. And what's interesting is that we often see, I say, about two-fold variation in yield monitor data on pretty much any given field, but we even see more variation at the row level. And the higher resolution you get, the more variability you typically see. So this is showing that for one of the seed depth data sets, here's yield on the y-axis. On the x-axis, I have something I made called site factors. So it's going from wet to dry. I took sand content, so I used soil times landscape to come up with this axis. So it's just spreading out the soil by topography relationship is what I'm trying to do. And you see substantial variation. In fact, we tested seed depth in this field. 70% of the variation had nothing to do with seed depth. It just had to do with the site characteristics where those rows happened to be on, unrelated to the treatments, okay? So when you think about what does that change up our interpretation for this field, yield monitor data on this particular field, this is one that we didn't see a response. In terms of the individual rows, we didn't see a response either, so we saw matching answers at the row level. But the one thing we saw was a heck of a lot more variability at the row level. And then I want to take it down one more to actual plant responses. So when we think about at the plant level, here's the typical scenario. We're looking for evenness in stands. We're constantly looking for just consistent plants. And then we often get something like the bottom that for one reason or another, you have hierarchies develop and you have plant-to-plant competition. So this presentation also has corn pictures. I like corn pictures. We have, so this would be one example. I think Than showed this yesterday to some of the group, that you can see spaces and gaps in here for missing plants, missing ears. You see nubs, you see a lot of variation. My take home for this, I have the overall yield, but you're looking at a coefficient of 45%, a variation of 45%, and about 200 some bushel corn. So same experiment, different site. Getting near 300 bushel levels, you start to see very, very strong consistency among ears. So one of our hypotheses is to get higher yields, do these need to double and just forget the skips and doubles? Or do you need to have more consistency? And we often see that consistency is very important in driving yield. And that's something that we understand in deer and in job execution as well. So what are some of the factors that we look at for trying to understand that high resolution variation? One is residue, both above ground and below ground. Here I'm showing on your right, above ground impeding of emergence, but then we also have things like hairpinning and mixing in of residue that's inhibiting plant growth. We also see nutrient management being important, and we also recognize that genetics play a strong role in the ability to tolerate some of these conditions. Here's a graph that we made from the same data. It's looking at what I call plant-to-plant emergence uniformity. So this is kind of interesting. I have yield on the y-axis. On the x, this is a little confusing, but all I'm saying is that if you take a row and you have a bunch of plants, take three plants at a given time. So there's you're in the middle and you have two neighbors. How do your neighbors affect yield with you? So if you take the average of just those three plants, that becomes a number. And then I bucket a bunch of those to come up with those means. So what I'm saying is that in terms of time here, this is in days, plants that if you emerge similarly to your neighbors, you have pretty much no yield hit. And in this data set, it's showing that we have about a 48-hour window till it becomes a significant yield difference. So if your neighbors on either side of you emerge 48 hours differentially or more, that's where we're starting to see the yield hit. Something else that we found quite interesting, and I think this speaks to just looking at plants at a higher resolution than what we do today, is something such as leaf orientation. So when we went out, we examined plants. Here I'm showing that corn plant leaf orientation differs as you go through the row. So You can have leaves that unfurl inside the row, leaves that unfurl across the row. That depends on seed orientation, and it's also been shown by many of you guys in the audience too that this can change across time. So as you go up nodes in the plant can compensate for shading or other stresses going on. So snipping out one of the pictures before, I wanted to highlight something that we're very interested in, is trying to understand how do you start to get evenness in corn stands. And what you often see is you see factors either individually or multiplicative start showing themselves in slides like this. So I've handpicked out which of the three plants in this row were actually within. So they unfurled their leaves within the row, not across the row, right? So then you start to see that this has a development, leads to the development of hierarchies in these plant stands as well. Preliminary results I've got at the very bottom, we see somewhere between sometimes very low percent yield differences, but up to 10% increase of plants that are going across the row as compared to within. So something we're very, very interested in is trying to understand how, as we think about improving equipment performance, as we think about improving job execution, that is, we want to do the best job at tillage, at planting, at nutrient application, all the way through harvest. As we think about that as a fleet management system, how do we think of solutions that take us today from the swath level to the row level to even to the plant level that we'll probably be at someday? And with that, I'll just say a few things. I think there's a considerable opportunity as we keep getting higher resolution data for understanding it towards even driving performance and the next generation of equipment control. I think there's a huge opportunity for us as a community. And then also, my last point is that I think at John Deere, we understand the need, we understand the global food challenge, and we want to work together as a community to solve this problem. I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Well, we have a couple minutes here for some questions for Kevin.
You probably said it, I missed it. When was it that you documented whether the leaves were oriented within or versus across the row? What stage of the plant was that when you assessed that? Did you do it multiple times? Is there a change, or did you do it one time?
Great question. So Paul's question was, when did we assess the leaf orientation? So we did it actually two ways. The first way we did it at the end of the season. So what we did is we looked at the base of the corn plant and looked at, you know, the corn plant's elongated. So we looked at what direction that was heading. That was year number one. Year number two, we actually assessed it from emergence. So looking at the early V stages, looked at it, came back at like V6, V7, looked at it again, but came up with two numbers then that looked at lower canopy, upper canopy, and just kind of kept looking at it as it changed. We saw change, but a lot of this data is really related to that early season.
So when you say within or across, you're mostly referring to the early assessment versus the end of the season.
Right. It'd be the early.
They do orient, and it seems sometimes that can be minimized. So, or if it doesn't change, it doesn't matter.
Right. This would be lower canopy early season. This wouldn't reflect the upper canopy.
One quick question. Have you seen any variety influences on hotspot variability?
In terms of the orientation?
All variability.
Yeah. We've seen that hybrid definitely has a pretty strong influence on plant, both from the genetic component. On quality, seed quality, for instance, we've seen that as a factor. We've also seen management strategies. So depending on like crowding, you know, tolerance to crowding, some hybrids are more susceptible than others. So yeah, there is a pretty strong hybrid component to it.
Well, I think we should probably move on to the next presentation. Thanks again.